planting churches, preparing leaders, proclaiming the gospel, till the whole world hears. This is the Grand Old Gospel Hour.
Education is a good thing and it's a needed thing, but what I am saying is that education and worldly wisdom is not the answer. That's not the answer to the problems that we have.
When you decide to take a stand for God and go against the grain of mainstream norms, the world might label you a fanatic, an extremist, and maybe even a fool. Today's passage will encourage you to wear the badge, a fool for God, with honor.
Paul wants us in this text to understand that true wisdom comes from God. That you can't find it in a book, you can't find it in a test tube, you can't find it anywhere else. True wisdom comes from God. After acknowledging that God chooses to work through the foolish people of the world, Paul admits that he didn't come trying to appear smart according to the world standard. He was certainly an educated man, but that's not what he projected. That's not what he was concerned about. As an educated man, he wasn't trying to impress the church with excellence of speech or all the knowledge that he had accumulated going to school there in these Greek schools. But Paul understood that true wisdom comes from God. Look at verse 2 of chapter 2. He says, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." True wisdom is tied up in Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection. It's tied up in Jesus Christ and him being crucified. Now, Paul is not saying here that he didn't know anything else but Jesus crucified. He had a lot of knowledge. He knew all kinds of things. He had gone to school in these highly regarded school, Greek schools. And so he had a lot of the Greek wisdom and philosophy in him. But what he is saying is that in his preaching among them, he was determined to focus only on the death and life of Jesus. Are you with me? And so understand that there are a lot of good things that we could talk about. There are a lot of important things that are going on in our world. But like Paul, we need to stay focused as a church on the life and teachings of Jesus and him being crucified for our sins. Now, let me slow down just a little bit. Because as we study the Bible, all 66 books point to Jesus. You know, it's been said that you every page you turn to, you can find Jesus. As a matter of fact, the whole redemptive history from the creation of man to the culmination of creation at the end of Revelation, the whole storyline is all culminated in Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And so Jesus is the central story of redemption. Jesus is the point of God's revelation to us. Jesus is the source of all human wisdom. And so we need all godly wisdom. And so we need to make sure that we focus on him. True wisdom is tied up in Jesus. And so if that's true, then like Paul, we need to focus on Jesus. As a church, we need to focus on Jesus and the wisdom that's found in the Word of God. But skip down to verse 6. Because in verse 6, he says, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing." And so there is a wisdom that's in the world, a wisdom that's found in the culture, and the wisdom that's found in the culture is never going to be sufficient to lead us and guide us and to do and accomplish what God wants to accomplish in our lives. Let me say this. And there are many churches who have taken their eyes off the ball when it comes to focusing on Jesus and his message. And they've become distracted by issues and practices in the culture. Some of these cultural magnets have nothing wrong with them. Some of them even may be good, but some even healthy in themselves. But there are others that are good sounding distractions away from Jesus and him crucified. For example, I don't have a big problem with the tenets of Kwanzaa. Are you with me? Everybody knows what Kwanzaa is, right? There are churches this season that are going to be preaching Kwanzaa. And you say, well, not Monko. And I have no problem with many of the tenets. Some of the tenets of Kwanzaa I disagree with, but I have no problem with many of the tenets of Kwanzaa. But it has become not only a distraction for many, but it has become for many a substitution for Christ. And Christ and his message is relegated to some place of being the white man's religion. And when at the same time we have latched on to what in Africa, they don't even consider it to be a part of their culture. But the fact of the matter is, it is a distraction away from Christ. Let me say something else. Christmas in our culture is a distraction away from Christ. And there are a lot of Christians, nobody here, who we get so caught up in the cultural aspects of Christmas where we get distracted away from the message of God sending his son, Jesus, to die for our sins. I want to suggest to you that we need to focus on Jesus, that true wisdom is bound up, tied up, wrapped up in Jesus. And anytime you allow yourself to get distracted away from the central message of Jesus, whether it's Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny or whatever, you know, I heard a guy say one time, he said, he still hasn't figured out how a bunny can lay an egg. You know, but that's a side message. But the fact of the matter is that we get so distracted by all kinds of things. Paul is saying that the godly wisdom that we need in our lives is focused on and wrapped up and tied up in Jesus. True wisdom comes from God. But the next verse, in verse 7, he says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now think about that. That the wisdom that we all want in our lives is actually a mystery. The text describes the wisdom here as a hidden mystery. That means that it is locked up and only accessed by a certain few at the right time. And the few that are able to access the hidden mystery have to have the right key to get in. You know, the Bible speaks about several mysteries. The Bible talks about several different mysteries. It doesn't mean that they are hard to understand. When the Bible talks about a mystery, it doesn't mean that it's difficult to know. It's a mystery because it's not common knowledge. It's a mystery because it's only revealed at the right time to the right people. It's a mystery until God opens the door of understanding. Here's a perfect example. Getting into my front door is a mystery. You know, a couple years ago, we changed the lock and had one of these combination locks on our front door. And so if you come to my house, you're welcome to come to the house, but you can't get in entrance into the house is a mystery. And until you have the right code to get in, you're not going to have access. It's not hard to open the door. It's not a difficult task to open the door. You just have to have the right code to open the door. And that's the way the wisdom of God is. The wisdom of God is a mystery. It's not difficult to access. It's not hard to acquire. It's not a difficult task to get. You just have to have the right code. And the right code to access the wisdom of God in your life, the guidance and the comfort and the blessings and all the things that God wants for us, the right code is wrapped up and tied up in Jesus. And so the wisdom of God requires the right code. The thing that you won't find is that this right code is in some textbook in school. You're not going to find the right code anywhere else. You won't discover the right code of the wisdom of God in the philosophies of the culture. You can't buy the wisdom of God with all the money that you could have. The only code that opens the door to the wisdom of God is found in the life and death of Jesus. And notice that God, who created the worlds, put the combination to the hidden wisdom and placed it, made it available for all of us today. And all you have to do is access the right code, and the doors to the wisdom of God can be opened. We'll get to that code in a minute. But look at verse 8. Notice in verse 8 that none of the rulers of this age knew how to access that wisdom. Which of the rulers of this age knew? For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, you know, I could stop there and we could go in a couple different directions, but just stop and think about that. That it was a hidden knowledge that everybody didn't have access to who Jesus was and what he was trying to do. And God had to keep it that way, or else he would never have been crucified. Are you following me? He would never have been crucified. And if Jesus was not crucified, where would we be? We would still be lost in our sins. We would still be hopeless. And so God kept this mystery locked up for a lot of people, and the code was not accessed by everybody. It was necessary that the wisdom of God's plan be hidden so that Jesus could be crucified. And while true wisdom is a hidden mystery, the combination is still available to anyone who comes to Jesus and seeks to live by it. And so all that Paul is saying, and all that I'm trying to communicate today out of this text, is that this godly wisdom, this true wisdom, is available to anybody who comes to God through Jesus Christ. He will provide that code. But skip down to verses 10 to 12. Verse 10 says, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." Now, what's he saying? He's simply saying that true wisdom, while the code is wrapped up and tied up in Jesus, that it is available to us through the Holy Spirit. And so we need the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that while true wisdom was demonstrated by the life of Christ and made available to all for all to see, Jesus has a physical body in heaven, and so we can't see him today. All we have is a written account of what Jesus did and how he lived, but that leaves us powerless to exercise the wisdom of God in our lives today. You see, Brother Barry, as he shared his testimony, he needed more than just, you know, WWDJ. You know, WWDJ, what would Jesus do, is good, but it's insufficient. It's not going to help us. It leaves us powerless. And the natural man is unable to access the wisdom of God and duplicate that wisdom in their life. You can see what Jesus did in his account, but you can't live that out on your own. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, you can be a Bible scholar. I could tell you everything Jesus did from birth to death and try and live that out, and I will be powerless to do that in my own strength. The fact of the matter is that the true wisdom of God, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the power to be able to do that, to be able to, what do you say, relax in the middle of the trial and run. The ability to live out the love of God when all the things seem to be against you. The way to work that out and for God to give you that ability has to come through the Holy Spirit. Verse 10 says that God has revealed the wisdom of God to us through the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus, how many of you know, when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, it's not a man that comes crawling into your heart. Jesus has a physical body today. He's in heaven physically. So we can't see Jesus today. He's in heaven. But when he ascended and went to glory, he said he was going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one who indwells us. The Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us. The Holy Spirit is the one who translates that wisdom of God and makes it accessible to each one of us. And so we're unable to grasp the deep wisdom of God, and we need to understand that the only way for us to receive that hidden wisdom is through the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit indwelling in your life, then you can't. But you can imitate Christianity for a little while. You might fool me. You know, I say all the time, people come in and tell me, oh, Pastor, I love the Lord. Well, if you tell me that, I believe you. You could fool me. We could fool each other. But the fact of the matter is, you are going to be unable to live out the powerful life that God wants us to live without the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? And so it comes from God the Father because of the life of Jesus and through the Holy Spirit. But look at verses 14 to 16 at the end of this chapter. He says, starting at verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What's he saying? He's saying true wisdom cannot be received by the spiritual, by the natural man. True wisdom cannot be received by the natural man. We are born in sin. And so we're all separated from God at birth. And we're unable to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We're unable to house the Spirit of God in us. He is unable to come into us and lead us and guide us and empower us and provide that godly wisdom. You can't, you know, we need to cross that barrier and open up the door that has separated us from God. We've got to take down that wall of separation and allow the Spirit of God to come in. And first of all, we got to understand why that's so important. Well, one of the reasons why it's so important is because you can't rely on your conscience to lead you and guide you through life. Are you hearing me? Your conscience will mess you up. I don't care how good you think your good conscience is. They call it a good conscience. It is twisted. It is sinful. The Bible calls the heart of man desperately wicked. And it will mess you up and make you think you're doing the right thing. You can't rely on your conscience. It is unreliable. It's like, relying on a compass as you're walking through the woods that's just spinning around. It will have you walking in circles. And so you can't rely on your conscience. But secondly, you can't rely on your experience. You know, many of us, especially as we get older, we've been there and done that, and we rely on our experience. But, you know, some of you guys have dealt with, you know, investors and savings people and got a couple of banker in the house and all that. Well, you know, when you read the investment portfolios, they tell you, well, last year this fund got, you know, 20% growth. But then in the fine print underneath says, past performance is no guarantee of the future. That's always in the little print down at the bottom. But that's the way life is. Past performance is no guarantee that that's how it's going to play out in the future. And sometimes we get so smart because we've been there and done that, and we rely on the fact that past performance is going to be an indicator of the future. And experience is good. I'm not downplaying experience, but we need to submit our experience, submit our conscience to the wisdom of God that He provides us through the Holy Spirit. And at the end of the day, it's God that has to lead us and guide us. It's God through His Spirit that has to reveal to us when we turn and when we don't turn. It's as we follow and obey the Word of God that we're going to be able to see God work. And so it's important that we take down this wall of separation and allow the Spirit of God to lead us. The good news, and I'll close with this, is that the broken natural person is able to be converted into a spiritual person. When we confess our sin and invite the Spirit of God to come in and transform us, it is possible for us to walk and become what used to be simply the natural man, relying on his twisted conscience and his own experience, into a spiritual man that is indwelt by the Holy Spirit and has the power of God in him, leading him and guiding him. That's the good news. But remember, I said you got to have the right code. So let me give you the code. I don't want anybody to leave here without knowing what the code is. I don't want anybody under the sound of my voice to not hear the code that you can access to make sure the Spirit of God is in you. It's a step that anybody can simply take by faith. And the four steps, if you've been around Monco long enough, you know what they are, the four A's: agree, acknowledge, accept, and allow. You heard that before? Agree, acknowledge, accept, and allow. Those four steps is what will help translate you from the natural man to a spiritual man. Agree, first of all, that you are a sinner. Agree that you need a Savior. Agree that you have fallen short of God's standard, that you stand in need of forgiveness. And that's the first thing. It's the first hurdle to get over, that you're not Mr. Righteous. You're not Mrs. Righteous. You are a sinner in need of a Savior. And when you agree with that assessment of yourself, you've taken that first step. If it's a four-digit code, that's the first digit. The second thing is, after you agree, to acknowledge that Jesus is the one who paid the penalty for your sin. He actually took the punishment that we deserve. I just can't hear that enough. I can't get over that the God who created heaven and earth would take the time and the effort to come down to this earth, and the discomfort of all that he went through, much less the crucifixion, to pay the penalty, to experience death, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death, and he tasted death for me. And I acknowledge that to be historically true. The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ is time and space history that we can count on. We acknowledge that to be true. This is not like Cinderella and the seven dwarfs or whatever they are. This is not some fairy tale. This is history in time and space. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to this earth. But then thirdly, we need to not only agree and acknowledge, but we have to accept it personally for ourselves. We need to accept for ourselves what Jesus has done. And to accept it is like, I always say, it's like Christmas time. You know, Christmas comes, you don't reach into your pocket when somebody gives you a gift to try and pay for it. No, first of all, this gift you could never pay for. This is a gift that all you can do is, like Christmas, you take it, you say, thank you, Jesus. It's only by the grace of God.
Thanks for joining us today. If you are grateful for our broadcast, you can play a significant part in keeping it available in your community and beyond. We rely on the prayerful support of friends like you who will join hands with us. Thank you for remembering this ministry and all the people we are reaching with God's Word. If you'd like to express your support, contact us today. You can call us at 215-361-8111. Again, that's 215-361-8111. You can also donate online at our website, gogfministries.org. Or you can mail your tax-deductible gift to our offices at GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA, 19446. Your monthly gift will help us to fulfill our mission of planting churches, preparing leaders, and proclaiming the gospel till the whole world hears.